be here, Cody, for so many reasons. One, I'm also just a terribly, I guess, I don't know what it would be. Do I have ennui? Is that what it is? Cody, welcome to the program, by the way.
Do you have what? Welcome. Hi.
Isn't it ennui? Isn't that, that's a Gilmore Girls episode. They debate it the entire time if that's a real word or not. And it just means you're sad. Just means you're that like you're just in a funk, essentially. I think that's another way to define it. And I think a lot of us might be. It's the new year. I feel like we should be happy. We should be, you know, excited. And I saw a study that said that most people don't think 2022 is going to bring much happiness. It's bringing a lot of the same. And so maybe it's just, you know, that setting in. But so I'm thrilled you're here anyway. Overly opening up at the beginning of the show because we're not going to talk about any of that stuff that's in the news. I'll get to that later. We're going to talk about some cool science-y things. Some of the stories that have aired recently on Curiosity Daily, because we haven't talked in a bit, include Jupiter and how they have rings. Is this correct?
Yeah, Jupiter has rings. Isn't that weird? You like to think it doesn't, but it does.
I didn't really think about it at all. Continue.
Well, for us stargazers out there, which I don't know why I said us, because I'm not one of them.
Sounds like you are, yeah.
For you out there, if you're a stargazer, yeah, they're made up of much smaller dust particles than Saturn's rings are. So we didn't even know Jupiter had rings till we, like, sent spacecraft there.
Okay.
And then we were like, oh, all right. But yeah, there's four rings, and scientists are pretty sure they just come up from dust kicked up by micrometeor impacts on Jupiter's inner moons, since Jupiter has like a million moons.
Sure. Yeah. That sounds fun. That was nice. Let's try another one. Others think about you about as much as you think about them. Is the idea here with science to demonstrate that, like, I don't think about others that much, so they don't think about me that much? Or are we going a different road?
Yeah, no. This is called the thought gap.
Okay.
And it's basically, we assume that a recent person that we talked to, we assume they're thinking about us less than we're thinking about them. And researchers think this happens because we have full access to our own thoughts, right? Like, we know what we're thinking, but we have zero access to what the other person
yes.
is thinking.
And I would not want it to be a different way. Continue.
Yeah, exactly. But if you ever, you know, if you ever just have even a chance encounter with somebody and then you think about them later, like, there's a weird comfort in knowing that, like, maybe that person's replaying their conversation with you too. I actually recently had a job interview for some other work that I'm working on. And I am trying to internalize that, right? Like, I know I'm thinking about it. I'm overanalyzing every answer I gave.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe they're also thinking, like, you know, how could I have asked this differently? Or, you know, maybe they're thinking
yeah.
about me. So,
oh, absolutely. You know. I've actually been on the other side interviews sometimes, which is weird because I've never had that before in my career. But where you're interviewing someone else for a potential thing that they would do. And every time that I do that, I walk away thinking, like, man, could I have been a better interviewer? You know, like, could I have achieved all the goals I set out to achieve? So, yeah, absolutely. Okay, I get it now even more. Most influential films according to science. This is something that scientists ranked.
Yeah, this was pretty interesting. This was a story we covered a couple of years ago, but we wanted to bring it back around the holiday season because it's just fun.
Sure.
So researchers, they looked at it, and there's so many different ways to look at, you know, how influential a film is, right? It could be box office. It could be the artistic merit. But this was basically they used an algorithm. They looked at IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and they looked at the number of references that film had in other films and how often those films were referenced by other films.
Okay.
So, like, you know, any movie that would play the opening to 2001 A Space Odyssey, or a movie that mentions Star Wars, right? Like Clerks talks about Star Wars a lot.
Sure.
So that would be one. And they said that the most influential film under that criteria is The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that makes sense, though. That's an easy one to reference. I wonder if part of it, too, is like something that's not necessarily going to make anybody mad, you know, because there's seminal works out there in the world of film. But I don't think you bring up like Pulp Fiction every single time you're trying to reference something in other movies, because it might not fit as well as I imagine some of these things do.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other kind of interesting, kind of fun part of it was they also talked about the most influential directors.
All right.
And it was for the same kind of reason. Who would you guess would be the most influential director?
I'm going to go with Quentin Tarantino now because I name dropped a film from him, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be wrong.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, it goes from older because obviously you've got an edge if you released a movie 100 years ago. A guy named George Cukor.
Oh, my favorite. Oh, yeah, so many good things from the Cukor. I'm one of the Q Corps, by the way. That's what we call ourselves.
Well, he won an Academy Award for Best Director for My Fair Lady.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
So, and he did a lot of comedy films and literary adaptations in the 30s and 40s. So,
you got to join the Q Corps, man. If you're not part of it, you got to get in real early on. David Copperfield, he's got a bunch of secrets hidden somewhere. Is this real? Are these like the secrets behind some of the tricks?
This is, yeah. So, looking ahead, Curiosity Daily is now our podcast. It's Wednesday through Friday. So this Wednesday, gotcha. January 5th. Our guest, our season comeback, we interviewed David Copperfield, who, I've interviewed some big names, but this is a big guy, not physically, but just his reputation.
That was a mean burn. You just took a shot. Copperfield's small. Cody could take him.
I have no idea how tall he is.
No, it's fine.
It's very nice on video, though. So he actually wrote down a bunch of his secrets. And they went on a spacecraft that was traveling towards the moon, and the spaceship actually crash landed on the moon. We talked about this; it was a few years back. But yeah, if you want David Copperfield's secrets, all his performances, illusions,
no,
they are on the moon.
No, do you remember that TV show where that like the masked guy gave all the magic secrets, and this was on for some reason?
Yeah, the Masked Magician.
Thank you. Yeah, for some reason it was on like network television, primetime hours. It ruined magic, man. I don't want Copperfield secrets. I think we should, get rid of them before anybody finds them. We need to get rid of these, ASAP.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we need to get rid of the moon. I was like, could be a bit much. The Masked Magician, I distinctly remember I was like 10 years old when that came out.
Yeah.
And all I remember from the show is the guy taking off his mask at the end and saying, "It is I, Valentino." And like I'm just sitting there with my family and we're all just like, "Who's Valentino?"
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't remember. I did not remember the guy's name. I remember how he did all the tricks. I love what you take out of the show, Cody. One more, quitting smoking is good for your mental health. This is something you guys have upcoming too.
Yeah, I think just in time for New Year's resolutions, right? Like we're all resolving to do various things. And yeah, the researchers basically, obviously we consider physical health when it comes to quitting smoking, right?
Yeah.
Like that's just a thing that we all want to do. But yeah, there are immediate mental health benefits that also go along with that. It triggers the release of dopamine in your system once you have less of it in your body. And there's just lots of really good things about it. So if you're considering quitting smoking, don't just think to yourself, well, I want to be in better shape or anything like that. Just, remember that it will also improve your mental health. Social well-being will improve. Oh, the other thing is a lot of people think, well, if I don't smoke, I can't take smoke breaks, at the bar. That's how I socialize. That's not the case. People think that you might suffer socially, but you won't. So don't worry about losing out on friendships just because you quit.
Okay, I have to now all of a sudden, just real quick, if you don't mind. I was in college. This is before I even knew Betty, so no one get mad. I've had my wife on the show. Everybody loves her. And the cutest girl in one of my classes asked me to go get a cigarette with her. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, Cody Goff. To this day, never smoked one. I went out for the break with her. She handed me a cigarette, and I held it in my fingers, and she smoked, and I talked to her. And I don't know if she noticed, like, most of the time that we were outside that I wasn't smoking the cigarette. It was only at the tail end that she really noticed that I hadn't smoked the cigarette at all. And then it got weird. So I would say, just as a follow-up to what Cody said, that, yeah, you don't have to sacrifice those things, but don't take the smoke break with no intention of smoking a cigarette, because it's not going to work. It's not going to work out.
Or talk about it up front. One of my best friends, sophomore year of college, was this girl, Bailey. She was in my I lived in a co-ed dorm, and Bailey would send me a message on AOL Instant Messenger and say, "Smoke break?"
Yeah.
And honest to God, Craig, I would go out there in 10-degree weather in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'd just stand outside, and she'd smoke a cigarette, and I never touched one.
Yeah, this was me also in January in Chicago, just standing outside on the street while she smoked a cigarette, and I pretended. I get it now. You're saying if I had been upfront about it, it wouldn't have felt as weird going back into the classroom that I just stood there the whole time. But I think I explained it on the elevator. I think I got it back. I don't totally remember, but I think it was okay by the end.
Or it was still really weird. Who cares, You're with Betty now, and she's awesome.
It was several years later. Thank you for that. That was helpful on so many levels. Quick break. A lot more. Cody Goff, Curiosity Daily, award-winning show. Now on, you said Wednesday through Friday, every single week
Wednesday
on all the
Friday.
Platforms. Yep. Okay. And those are some of the shows, some of the topics coming up. and some ones that you missed out on, but easy to find them because they're on all the podcast platforms. A lot more. Thank you, as always, Cody, for jumping on with. You know what? I was listening to our news, and our news, they do a great job. I'm not trying to be mean to Cooper Banks or anybody in the newsroom. Great job. A lot of, like, rough news out there in the world.
Yeah, true. Through no fault of the newsroom.
They don't make it.
Just happening.
Right. They don't create the news. They just write about it. And so I'm sitting here, and I got some topics prepped, and I was like, no. It's the first day of the new year. I'm just gonna check in. Just going to do a thing that's not these topics, because I do. I have the first two homicides in Peoria occurred already. It is the 3rd of January.
Yeah.
It's the third day.
Yeah, we're not very far in.
That feels awful as far as news go. I got a bunch of stuff in the world of whether it's politics or COVID or everything. You know what? Actually, here, I'm going to be as dark as possible in what I hope is a much more amusing way, or at least hopefully the take in it can be amusing. Because out of all the things out there in the world that are just, like, depressing, and as you just said a second ago, like, news has to be. It's the news. That's what is out there. They're telling us about it. This is needlessly depressing. Have you seen the new Apple 7 watch commercial?
Oh, no, I have not. No.
Needlessly depressing commercial. I have to be, like, I watch this, and I'm sitting there, and I think a lot of social media felt the same way. And when it was over, you're like, is the pitch for this product that if I buy it, I don't die? And
what?
And then if I don't buy it, then maybe I don't make it? Here's the audio. And again, the reason I'm going this road and not Antonio Brown being insane, not a bunch of the sillier things, is because, like, everything is sad, and Apple got swept up in it in a weird way.
911, what's your emergency?
I have been in a car accident. My car slipped. There's water getting in the car, and I can't get out.
911, what is your emergency?
I came off paddleboarding, and a hard wind is pushing me out to sea.
Okay, do not hang up.
911, what's your emergency?
I'm here as a farm. I broke my leg straight down 21 feet. I sure need help quick.
Are you by yourself?
Yeah.
When did we start selling products based on 911? Like, when did this become a thing?
That felt like the start to one of those public service announcements.
Right.
That it's telling you, like, not to drink and drive.
Exactly.
Not these dangerous things.
Yeah.
That's what that felt like.
These are, this is a company that's trying to get you to buy. Now, Apple's always been weird, I guess, with some of their commercials, but they used to be more fun, more of this.
Yourself?
Yes.
Have you tried to get out? Have you tried to bust the window or something?
I'm pretty far out in the ocean.
I can't get to my cell phone. I'm talking about Apple Watch.
Try to keep talking to me.
Okay.
They got the Apple mention in there, by the way, which makes me feel even stranger.
Oh, I can't wipe the wind anymore.
It's getting deeper. It's getting to my neck.
Please hurry. I'm hurting real bad.
You're going to seek help, okay?
I see them.
They're opening the door.
Yay!
Are you in an air pocket?
They're okay.
I'm just at the driver's seat.
Thank God.
Okay, above water?
Yes, sir.
Also, what the hell? Why would I... That is three stories. I assume they're real. I didn't want to look up the 911 stories. A woman trapped in a car that survives because of an Apple Watch. A guy getting pulled out to sea survives because of an Apple Watch. And a dude who got hurt survives Apple Watch. Like, why is this maudlin version of life now permeating everything? What I need right now, society, Apple, everybody, is an overly optimistic anything.
Tell me fun things that my Apple Watch can do, right?
Lie to me. You can full on lie to me. That'll be fine.
Balloons pop out of it whenever I, like, get off of work or something. It's like, throws out confetti and balloons. It's like, congratulations, you made it through another day.
Apple Watch now officially lets you travel back in time to 2018. Don't worry, it's better there. I'm fine with any of this stuff. That is, it's nuts. It's insane. And there's so much of that out there. Like, if you dive into the news of the day, and I know there were stories about it over the last few weeks, of how many people are just, they're just kind of done. They're just like, you know what? It's not great out there. And even though some of it seems to be a much more reaction than fact now, there's a lot of things that seem, you know what? Actually, here, hold on. We had a bunch of things planned throughout the show today, and this was not planned till later on the show, but I can't help it. There was something else that happened that I was floored by. And I don't know how to process this. And I don't know if you know how to process this. I don't know if anyone wants to process this. So Omicron is like the thing. We're all talking about it. Cases are going through the roof. So far, they say that hospitalizations and whatnot don't seem to be quite as bad. Pritzker spoke today and said that actually our hospitalization numbers are scary, but then didn't give, I think, too much additional data there. But there was also this. There was Dr. Anthony Fauci, Certainly a guy that's polarizing now to a lot of people, making an argument that so many made at other times in the pandemic. And, like, I don't even know what to believe. I'm not trying to tinfoil hat it. I'm not trying to say that I'm now going to doubt everything that's ever occurred or any of that. I've been vaccinated. I've been a coronavirus. I've been boosted. I've followed all the advice. I've done all the masking. But when I heard Dr. Fauci make an argument that made me feel good, by the way, about the rising amount of children that are in hospitals with COVID, but make an argument that I've heard before, I sat there after it and just kind of like, what world are we in? And what do I know? What don't I know? Do I need an Apple Watch to survive stuff? Here's Fauci.
Many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what we mean by that, if a child goes in the hospital, they automatically get tested for COVID and they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg or appendicitis or something like that. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID.
Do you remember when we booked a guest? This was back in September. His name was David Zweig, I think. I can't remember if I'm saying his last name right. He had written a piece about this problem. He said that a lot of numbers are getting overcounted. This was Delta variant. This was way before Omicron and all the competing information out now, and saying all the things, and I believe all those things came up in the interview, that are now being talked about kind of publicly. And I'm so confused. That's just what it is. I'm just abundantly confused, as I imagine a lot of people are, because it was so casually that an answer like that was given. You know what? If somebody goes to the hospital and they don't have COVID in a way that's scary, they still get counted for it. Like, how long has that been going on? How long has that been? And a lot of people out there who question this stuff said that was going on, including that author that we had on, who had that opinion piece, I think, that got ridiculed. But now a lot of people are going back to it like, wait a minute, what things were being said here? And I'm so confused, actually, in all honesty, and this is just sort of a rant to start the show, that I almost feel like I should Antonio Brown my way out of here. Like, I do. I feel like I should just take the shirt off and run out of here.
Please leave the shirt on. Please leave the shirt on.
Because, like, what do you do? Do you know what was going on, by the way, in that game? Shifting gears to that real quick, because I do really like the audio. Apparently, he was being asked to go in.
Yeah, and he said his ankle wasn't good enough.
Right. And this is a guy who was within a few catches, I think like eight or so catches, certainly like an achievable amount of yards, and one touchdown of essentially, I think, $1 million collectively in bonuses. So going back in the game could have made him a bunch of money. And he said no multiple times. And then Coach Aaron said, you know what, fine, then get off my field. And Antonio got off the field in the most dramatic way I've ever seen in my life. If this is someone who I believe, and I think Tom Brady does, is just going through some stuff mentally, it's not quite as fun to you know, react to this stuff, because you feel bad for someone. But he seems to think he's fine, and he is the diva of divas in the NFL several other times in his career. So here we go.
Antonio Brown. That's Antonio Brown without his uniform, we are told, without his jersey, and running out of the field. I don't know if that could have been a penalty.
All right, Jen Hale, get after that. We got to find out what's going on there.
She's got to catch him first.
That is an excellent troll job, by the way. You got to catch him first. That's probably the joke of the day the other day.
Unbelievable. He's had his issues off the field. Now he's on the field creating an issue.
Guys, very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace out sign.
He did all those things. All those things happen in a football game.
That was incredible.
It was
like, to see it take fire over social media.
Right.
I also think it's funny how Antonio Brown, I think a week ago, said, why is it with all you reporters, you never want to talk about football? You want to talk about everything outside of football.
Because hold on,
and then
though.
Here we are, where Antonio Brown is stripping on the field and running away cutting across the end zone and giving peace signs to the fans.
Thank you. And peace signing people. And what's crazy about all of it is the fact that you said, like, you saw it. Like, of course it went viral in social media. It had to. It was the most ridiculous thing. And again, like, I don't want to go after someone who's struggling with something mentally. It's the same Kanye West dilemma you always have. The guy runs for president, and it's objectively a hilarious campaign to be the president of the country. And yet, if you're going through things, I don't know how much I want to dive deep there. But, you know, at some point, I think, especially in the worlds of an Antonio Brown, like, you have all the money you could ever, you have all the ability to go get help. If that's not what you're choosing to do, if you're choosing to be on a football field and then you're choosing to do the things you did on said field and while walking off the field, I can't not talk about it.
Everyone's going to talk about it, but I think it's the last time we see Antonio Brown on a football field.
You think so, of any kind?
I think this is it.
See, this is the ultimate version of the debate that's existed for a while in the NFL, and it's the does talent supersede anything else?
It usually does.
Right.
But one, it's been so many with him.
I know.
And two, he's getting old anyway.
He's not quite as good. He wasn't making quite as much of an impact on the field, although I think because of how injured the Bucs are, they would probably still love to have the skill set of an Antonio Brown right now. And they were trying to put him into the game, and they were losing by 2 touchdowns to the Jets at the time. And then Tom Brady. He was incredible to see them come back in that game, and Tom single-handedly kind of win that. So I don't know if they need him, but I would be intrigued if maybe some team after the season, you know, and maybe an off season of him acting more normal and not dropping rap songs, by the way, which he has done. There's a new one out there.
Is there really?
Yeah. He dropped it. No. He dropped it within 24 hours.
Was it in the back
hours.
Of the Uber?
I don't know.
It
could have been. Yeah. There's a bunch of videos there too of the Uber driver to the stars. Some guy, I guess, that he called that drives around other athletes. Putting up videos. But yeah, all those things occurred. And I think that after an offseason, someone might take a flyer on an Antonio Brown.
Every team always feels like they can do it.
Right.
Every team.
We can fix you. We can make it better. We can get things to a place that makes sense.
But they can't.
Tom Brady, by the way, is still 100% like talking about it as though we just need compassion, empathy for someone who's obviously going through some stuff. Tom is still sort of a champion. I actually think there's an off chance next year, if Tommy's still around, he could be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer again.
No way.
There's an off chance.
I'd put a lot of money on that never happening.
Let's say Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl again, which I do not think happens, and then Tom Brady advocates for Antonio Brown. I don't say no to that guy. If I'm sitting in any position, I'm like, that's fine.
Like, no. You just show him the video of Antonio Brown running off the field, and you're like, Tom, this is why.
The only way it happens is back-to-back Super Bowls for a quarterback in his 40s who still seems like he's one of the best in the absolute league. If he then advocates to sign Brown again, these are all, like, the what-if scenario is through the roof. But if it happens, Antonio Brown's there game one.
Oh,
he's week one on the field. I think wearing a shirt. I am not sure. They might want to just paint the numbers on his back just in case
that's
he takes
true.
It off.
Last name and numbers, yeah.
Then they're safe either way. And I didn't mean to blame the newsroom, because it's not your fault. You're just reporting on the news that's out there. But everything's so depressing. Do you get depressed, Cooper Banks, like reading and writing and doing all this stuff all the time?
I certainly have been victim of bouts of depression, no doubt about it.
Is there something we do? Can we do like an Oreo break at 3:30 each day? Because I've been into the Oreos quite a bit recently. Does that
sure.
lift our spirits? Is there something better we can do maybe? Caleb Kelcher, the morning show, the producer, like meditates often and has very kind things, very high praise to say about that. Have you tried that?
Well, journal writing, kind of similar in nature.
That feels
you might say.
Utterly different. That feels, you're doing stuff.
Cathartic.
Dalton Kemper, is journal writing and meditation the same thing?
I think you could draw some comparisons.
Okay, yeah.
You're reflecting in certain points.
Yeah,
reflections.
Okay, see, then I must be doing the meditating wrong, because every time I try it, it tells me to do nothing. To sit there and to feel my feet on the ground. This is the first tip every person gives, I think. And, like, breathe and feel your feet.
Mm-hmm. I've never meditated, so I have
I've done
no
it several times
it
now. Okay. Should I try journal writing?
I want to try meditating more. Right. I will say that.
Okay.
I remember doing it when I was in acting class in high school, and it worked quite well as a calming mechanism.
You were taking acting classes in high school?
Yeah, that's why I do what I do now.
Were you in any plays?
Absolutely. A play called The Diviners.
Nope, I haven't heard of that
Much
one.
Much Ado About Nothing, Shakespeare?
Much Ado About Nothing I know about. Do you have any, like, is there video? Are there things?
No. No.
That was a lie.
No video
was that
anywhere.
A lie? That was a lie.
That I know of.
That the newsmen. No.
We need to get in contact with Cooper's mom. She'll have it.
Really? That's a good first move.
I'm going to call her first.
We don't have her number. We got to figure this out very, very soon. That would make us all feel happier if we put Cooper Banks out there doing much do about nothing.
I think
okay.
so.
He said okay about that. And then I'll have Oreos and I'll watch that. And then now you do the family went viral because they have a unique contest. I guess around the holidays, they raid their grandmother's pantry and they see which member of the family can find the most expired item.
Love
this
it.
Is a real thing.
Love this.
Here it is. Here's what it sounds like when the family does this.
3, 2, 1.
I have ginger snaps in 2018.
Oh.
These mandarin oranges expired in 2014.
Wow.
Shaken pour, 2016.
Full can of light corn syrup, 2015.
English breakfast tea, 2013.
I win. English breakfast tea. From 2013, that sounds gross.
Yeah,
that sounds very gross. However, the oranges from 2015, I think he said, they sound like they'd be grosser.
Those have to be just like hard as a rock by now. No moisture left
right.
in the mandarin oranges.
No.
You could throw them against a wall and they might like hurt somebody, bounce off, who knows.
Honestly, every time I talk about this story, I also think about my grandmother and her medicine cabinet. And I don't know why it was a thing for our family growing up. But if you were over grandma's and you got hurt, she told you to go grab something out of the medicine cabinet, and in it was really expired medicine. That sounds way more dangerous than the pantry items. But the funniest thing about it is everybody would try to fix it for grandma. Like, I know my mother and her other siblings would empty the cabinet constantly, and everything would wind up back in it. And grandma would never claim that she dug stuff out of the trash and put it back in the medicine cabinet. But how else did it get in there, grandma?
See, that's just a case of grandma has all her stuff there.
Right.
And she likes things the way
yes.
that it is.
Well, and on the
and
off chance.
People messing with it. What if she needs it?
Right. On the off chance, some of that medicine winds up being important. I know some of it, you know, it's still going to work a little bit. I don't know which ones were in there, but it was all kinds of stuff. It's everything from like Advil and Tylenol to prescription medications that shouldn't be in there anymore. And she just pointed at you, no matter how old you were, if you got, like, if you skinned your knee, just go get something out of the medicine
yeah.
cabinet.
I've always been like, you know, I'm always one to read the bottle on
yeah.
whether it's ibuprofen or whatever
no,
to just be
grandma.
Like, to just, you know, make sure I'm taking the right amount.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, just take some.
Just
I'm
take
like,
a thing.
I want to know how many.
Right. And again, my grandmother, lovely. I'm not trying to go against her. She also makes meatballs that she thinks are medicinal. Like, she would actually give you those two things. Grab something out of the medicine cabinet, have a meatball, you're probably okay.
I would all of a sudden start feeling a little off if I knew there were meatballs that would make me feel better.
I don't know what you're talking about. The meatballs are the best part of the hangout
I'm
at grandma's.
I would want the meatballs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and you don't want the medicine.
No, no.
Well, that's
just,
awkward.
Or a reward. You
I just crushed the pills up in the meatballs.
Oh, pro move.
That's true. Okay, that's what, why they were medicinal.
That's what grandma's been doing. Why is she
that
doing
was
that?
Secret recipe.
Yeah, Cooper Banks got the news. 1470, 100.3 WMBD.